So we are holding, good morning everyone, we're holding on plus Vav on the bays, four lines from the bottom. We discussed yesterday that we have like this. We had a braisa where Reb Shimon Elazar said that things made from trees, or actually in general, things other than wool and linen, it amounts to what he's saying, the din of sholosh al sholosh doesn't apply to them. The din that a piece of them, 3x3 etzbos, in Makabel Tumah, doesn't apply to them. So we said Abaya took that to mean that Reb Shimon Elazar holds that they're not Makabel Tumah at all, which is like a Tanit Veda Bishmal, which learns from a Binyan Av that whenever the Torah mentions the word beged, it always means wool and linen, wool or linen, that is, or a combination of them. And therefore, since only that kind of thing becomes tamei with negoyim, with saras, and therefore Tanit Veda Bishmal applies that to everything and says that no other cloth is mekabel tumah, no matter what size. So Abaya has said that Reb Shimon Elazar agrees with that. And he would also say that only wool and linen are able to be mekabel tumah, no other kind of cloth. Rava had said that actually no, Reb Shimon Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel, Tanit Veda Rabbi Shmuel, don't necessarily agree. Tanit Veda Rabbi Shmuel says that no cloth that's not wool or linen is mekabel tumah. Reb Shimon Elazar would say they're not mekabel tumah in small sizes, like 3x3 etzbos, but they are mekabel tumah in larger sizes, 3x3 tefachim. Okay. So if that's the case,
why did not mention in Taras?
Well, because Taras is different. So now comes the question. Or the Rava, the Amma Shlosha Shlosha, the Shah Gadim Ikabinahu, according to Rava's understanding, that with Shimon Elazar and Tanit Veda Bishmal are arguing about 3x3 tefachim of other types of cloth, which he says, Reb Shimon Elazar Islay, the Tanit Veda Bishmal Leslay, that Reb Shimon Elazar says that such things on the Kabbal Tumah, once there's 3x3 Tochim, and Tanit Veda Bishmal holds that not. The question is, according to that, Shloshal Shloshal B'Shab B'Gadim Minolay, then where does Reb Shimon Elazar get that idea that, according to Rava, that other kinds of cloth, 3x3 Tochim, should be Kabbal Tumah? Tanit Veda Bishmal, in fact, holds that everywhere where it is beged means specifically wool or linen. So therefore, he would say that it's not mekabel tumah, but Reb Shimon Elazar, who Rava is explaining Reb Shimon Elazar to be saying that he holds it is mekabel tumah. So where would he get it from? Where would he get that when the Torah says beged, it includes those things as well, for other kinds of tumah, that is, for example, for tumah of shrasim or other things. The answer is not oy beged. Rava would say that Reb Shimon Elazar would learn it from the word from the extra word oy, where it says oy beged in connection with the tumah of a sheretz. In Parashat Shmini, the Torah tells us the concept that a dead sheretz can be mekamei things, and the Torah says that if a sheretz falls on or touches or whatever something, including gives a catalog of various things, including oy beged or a garment. So the oy is a ribbon. Tanya, as in fact we learn in a braisa. Now Rashi says this isn't a braisa, this is Rava's own drosha, because we're going to see soon that Abaya disagrees with it. If it's a braisa, how could Abaya disagree with it? So Rashi says take out the word Tanya. Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim say that no, you don't have to do that, because the braisa, we're trying to explain Reb Shimon Elazar's opinion, Reb Shimon Elazar, the Tana, he's entitled to argue with a braisa. Anyway, so the drosha is like this. Beged, when the pasuk says beged in connection with shrutim, ainly ela beged, if the Torah said only the word beged without the word oy, ainly ela beged, then you would only know that it applies to a complete beged, shlosha al shlosha b'shad b'gadim yinai, and how do we know that it applies even to a piece 3x3 tefachim of other kinds of cloth? Talmud Lomar, oy beged. Therefore, the pasuk says oy beged. So there you go. Then Reb Shimon Elazar can say that we learn from oy beged that other kinds of cloth are mekabel tumah as well, but you need a larger size, 3x3 tefachim. So the question is, Abaya, hi oy beged my obed lay. Okay, what does Abaya do with that, Yerusha? The answer is Mibolei Lelavis Sholosh Al Sholosh B'Semer Pishtim D'Mekana B'Shrotim. He says, no, still talking about wool and linen. But like this, we learned yesterday that a piece 3x3 etzvot is able to become Tomei from the Goyim. We need a separate process to also tell us that it can become Tomei from Shrotim. So there you go then. So it's not teaching us other kinds of cloth. It's teaching us the same kind of cloth that wool or linen, but that a piece 3x3 etzvot, which we already said is Mekabel Tumah of the Goyim, you should know it's also Mekabel Tumah if a dead sheriff touched it. There, Rava. What would Rava answer to that? He would say.
It doesn't answer the question. Still doesn't answer the question.
Of course it does. According to Abaya, the word oi in oi beged comes to teach us that if it's wool or linen, even 3x boys is Mekabel Tumah. But that according to Abaya, at least according to Abaya's understanding of the Shimon Elazar, Abaya doesn't have to say this is the halacha, by the way. Doesn't have to say this is the halacha. We're talking about explaining Rav Shimon Elazar's opinion. Rav Shimon Elazar's opinion, who said that the concept of sholish al sholish, 3x3 etzvot, only applies to wool or linen. So according to that, the word oy beged would teach us, the oy of oy beged would teach us that also with wool and linen, that not only is it mekame from negoyim, as we said yesterday, but also with shrotim. Then Rava, what would Rava answer to that? He says, you don't need that. Gali rachmona gabi negoyim v'wagim l'shrotim. Once the Torah tells us that wool and linen are mekabel tumah when it comes to negoyim, automatically, that excludes also automatically, the same thing applies to shrotim, because you have a binyan now. There, Abaya would answer to that. Ikal mifrach, not necessarily, because you can shlug up that binyan av. A binyan av means if the Torah tells us something in one place, then we apply it everywhere else, which is similar. But it has to be similar. It has to be that it has to be that the one that you're trying to learn to doesn't have a chumrah of its own, and you could say. Or the one that you're trying to learn from, rather, doesn't have a chumrah of its own. Because otherwise, you could say, maybe this din only applies by the thing that has a chumrah, not by the thing that has a kula. Well, negoyim have a chumrah. Ma'alan negoyim shekin shesi ve'edam metamid behem. Because after all, as we said yesterday, when it comes to negoyim, not only woven cloth is able to become tummy with negoyim, but even thread of shesi or thread of edam, that is going to be eventually used for weaving and hasn't yet, is also Mekabel Tumah, and we know that because the pasuk says so explicitly, as opposed to when it comes to shrotim, it's not like that. When it comes to shrotim, Rashi says, it says by shrotim the word beged. It never says that shesi and eiriv are matameh by shrotim, so therefore we should assume that they're not. Tosfos brings a different source for it, which is that since it also mentions in that connection, sack. So a sack is something that's woven, and there's something where the threads are spun and then woven. It's just made out of a coarser cloth than regular thread. And the same thing, anything to be Mekabel Tumah, any kind of cloth has to be spun and woven, which was not the case with Shefi and Aaron, because it was spun, but it wasn't woven yet. Anyway, the point is that Abaya says that Negoyim have a chumrah over Shrotim. Therefore, if the Torah only told us that 3x3 etzvot of wool or linen is matamed by Negoyim, you would say, fine, that only applies to Negoyim, because Negoyim have that chumrah. We wouldn't necessarily know that it applies to Shrotim as well. Therefore, says Abaya, the Torah needs to tell us an extra ribui, the word oi, by Shrotim. Okay. Ve'idach. Okay, so what word?
That's between the Shrotim and Beged. But where does he take it that Beged means everything, not only wool and linen?
No, because that's what he's saying. That's from the word Oy Beged, not from the word Beged itself, from the word Oy Beged.
Oy Beged, yeah.
So Oy is a ribbon. So again, Rava is telling us that the Oy is a ribbon to teach us other kinds of cloth. That 3x3 talking of them is Mekabel Tumah when it comes to Shrotim. Abaya is saying, no, it's still talking about wool and linen, but it's talking about that with wool and linen, you should know. Otherwise, you wouldn't have known it's Mekabel Tumah from Shrotim at all. And again, you can't say, like Rava says, a binyan av, because Negoyim have a chumrah that Shrotim don't. Ve'idach, what would Rava answer to that? He would say, still, Isakudaitach Negoyim Chamiri, if you're going to argue that Negoyim are more chumrah, meaning obviously the goyim have a lot of chumras, but in other words, if you're going to say that you need the ribui because you can't learn from the goyim, then the other way around, lichter rachmona gabe shuatim, then the Torah could have just written something by shuatim to teach us that that 3x3 of semer pishkin is the time by shuatim, the late and the goyim minayim. Do the other way around. The binyan av could have been the other way around. It could have said by shuatim, and we would have said if shuatim, which are more lenient, a 3x3 etzvos piece of wool or linen is a kabel truma, how much more so when it comes to the goyim? So the fact that it didn't do it, the fact that instead it wrote it by Nagoyim, means that we can learn it from Nagoyim to Shurasim. And therefore we have the word Oi as an Oi Beged by Shurasim left over. And therefore, Rava says, we can use it to teach us about other kinds of cloth.
Mm-hmm.
What would Abaya answer to that? He would say, no good. Nagoyim to Shurasim lo yosu. You can't say that, on the other hand, Shurasim are more lenient, and therefore we should learn the goyim from that, the ikalim yifrach, because we could slog that up the other way around. Malah shrotim shekein matamim v'kadosha. Because you could argue that shrotim have a chumrah over the goyim, namely that they're matame with a piece the size of a lentil. As opposed to when it comes to the goyim, you need a larger amount. You need a spot of sarach. And the tame has to be much larger than a lentil. It actually has to be the size of a gris, which is defined in halacha as the size of 9 lentils. So each one, in other words, has a chumrah over the other. The goyim have a chumrah because they apply to unwoven thread, which shrotim doesn't, but shrotim has a smaller shiur tuma, which the goyim don't have. So the Gemara doesn't give what Rava would answer to that, but Tosfos says that okay, the fact is that Rava would say I'm not really considering it a binyan av at all. I'm considering it gilui milsa ba'alma. Once the Torah tells us that 3x3 etzvos, seminal kishnim, is considered a garment when it comes to taraf, automatically we would say the same thing as kuv by shrotim. It's not a binyan av, where therefore you could slug it up and say, yeah, but the goyim have a chumrah, yeah, but shrotim have a chumrah. It's just gilui milsa ba'alma. The Torah is telling us a fact that a piece 3x3 etzvos of wool or linen is considered a begging. Therefore, Rava says, I don't care whether one of them has a chumrah over the other. So says Tosfos. Other Rishonim, I think that Ramban, give a different answer. It's true, a sheret has a tuma of the size of an adosha. But you have to realize that adosha is not necessarily a flat piece the size of an adosha. It means something that has it doesn't mean the size of an adosha of a lentil on a piece of paper. It means the volume of an adosha. Well, very well. If you take that piece and then slice it out thin and spread it out, it can come out to the size of a grist. Taraf is two-dimensional. Shrotim are three-dimensional. If you take the three-dimensional piece of a sheret and spread it out to two dimensions, you may well have a piece much larger than a gris. So therefore, you can't really say, those who showed him say, so Rava would say, you can't really say, therefore, that there's a chumrah in shrotim over Nagoyim.
How much is a gris?
A gris is officially the size of 9 lentils. In various other places in halacha, in connection with Nagoyim, actually, the definition is given that a gris is the area on which 2x2 hairs grow on the skin, and a gris would be 9 times that, so the area where 6x6 hairs grow. What it is in modern terms, we talk about it in Masechet Nida, Yav Machorkas Achronim, what the exact size is, the Alter Rebbe, according to the general understanding of his, says that it's approximately the size of a dime. Maybe you have some understandings of the Alter Rebbe that make it a little bit smaller. But Moshe Feinstein, for example, says that it's a little larger, the size of a penny. Whatever, the point is that according to Tosfos, Rava wouldn't care that there's a chumrah in shrotim over Nagoyim, because he's saying that's anyway not really a binyan av, but rather a gilui milsa ba'alma. And according to the Ramban, the vote would be that that you could take the adasha, you could take the three-dimensional adasha and spread it out and get a piece that's at least the size of it, and get something that's at least the size of the two-dimensional spot of Tzaras, which is a grist. It's similar to, you know, by the way, I mean, you know, when we eat matzah on Pesach, for example, you know, we're supposed to eat a kezias. You know, you have different opinions what a kezias is exactly, but it ends up being a fairly large piece of matzah. But the reason is because matzah is almost, it's flat, it's almost two-dimensional, whereas a zayas is three-dimensional. So you have a similar concept that a small thing, that a small three-dimensional thing spreads out to become a much larger two-dimensional thing. Okay. So the point is, in other words, that, so Rava says, Rava saying, I'm sticking to my guns. You do have, according to the Shimon Elazar, other kinds of cloth are able to be makabel tumah of shrotim. I say that we learn that from the word oy beged, whereas Abaye is saying that no, pieces, at least according to, we're all talking according to the Shimon Elazar, pieces of cloth 3x3 esbay on the makabel tumah only if they're made out of wool or linen. And then they're makabel tumah of negoyim or of shrotim, because we have a separate ribui by each one, but they're not makabel, but other kinds of cloth, he would say, are not makabel tumah at all.
And Rava's opinion?
Rava's opinion, again, is that other kinds of cloth are makabel tumah from the word oy beged, but only if they're 3x3 tefachim. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Omer Abaya, hai tanet veda bishmo, mafik me'idach tanet veda bishmo. The Abaya says, earlier in the sugya, we quoted a Tanit Veda Bishmo, which said that when the Torah says Deged, it means only wool or linen. We learn it by a binyan av from Tzaras. So we quoted that braisa before of Tanit Veda Bishmo, and Abaya had said that, in fact, the Shimon Elazar holds exactly the same way. So now Abaya says, you should know there's actually another braisa of Tanit Veda Bishmo that disagrees with that first one. The Tanit Veda Bishmo, because we have another Tanit Veda Bishmo. When the Pasuk says Beged, when the Pasuk says regarding the Tuma of Shrutim, which we were just talking about, when the Pasuk says Beged, Aimli Ella Beged Semiro Fishim, so you would only know from that it means a garment of wool or linen, it's a Kabbal Tuma from a Sheret. Minayim Rabbit Semer Gmalim, how do we know to include wool from camels? The semer anovim, or wool from rabbit, which those have the name wool, but the fact is semer in the Torah unspecified means wool from sheep. Any other kind of wool has as we have here in the Gemara, a shem levi, a secondary name. It's not just called plain wool; it's called wool from camels or wool from rabbits or whatever, and therefore it's not considered wool in halacha. Now, how do we know, though, that nevertheless, clothes of such materials are makabel tumah from a sheret? And more examples, noitza shel izim, the under hair of the hair of goats. Noitza literally means feathers. Rashi explains, because we're not talking about the coarser hair of goats. We're talking about the fine under hair, which you don't shear it. You pluck it out, like the way you pluck out feathers. Therefore, it's called noitza shel izim. And bashirin, bakolach, basrikin, and various grades of silk. We talked about at the beginning of the paragraph, you have shirin, which are regular silk, and you have kolach, which maybe is waste silk, and you have srikin, which is another kind of silk. Anyway, how do we know, says the second Tanit Veda Bishmo, that all of those are makabel tumah from a sheret? Talmud Lomar, oy beged. Therefore, the pasuk says, oy beged. So the Abaya would say, fine. So we have somebody who gaushens the word oy beged to mean that it means other kind of cloth, but not like you, Rava, said before that would be according to the Shimon Elazar. No, that's a different Tanit Veda Bishmo. We have two brises of Tanit Veda Bishmo that disagree with each other. One of them says that beged in the Torah means only wool and linen, and the other one says that it means any kind of cloth. Okay. Rava Omar, Rava says no. Those two brises are not necessarily disagreeing. She lesle lahach tanet veda bishmo b'shad begodim shalosh al shalosh. The first tanet veda bishmo, when he said that we're memayis other kinds of clothing, he didn't mean that we're memayis them altogether from tumah. He just meant we're memayis them from shalosh al shalosh, from the 3x3 tefachim, 3x3x vod, rather, that 3x3x vod is not makabel truma. Shlosha, shlosha is like, but the first time of Rebbe Shmuel would agree that other kinds of cloth are makabel truma at 3x3 tefachim, and the second braisa is saying the same thing. So the two braisas of Tanakh and Rebbe Shmuel are not disagreeing with each other.
So the question, one said shlosha and one said shalosh.
Well, no. One, the first braisa had said, the first braisa of Tanakh and Rebbe Shmuel hadn't mentioned shalosh or shalosh at all. It had just mentioned that we have a binyan av from Tzaraas that only tsemer or pishtim are makabel truma. So we thought all this time that that meant that they're saying it's not makabel truma, that other kinds of cloth are not makabel truma at all. Now we have a second braisa that says that other kinds of cloth are makabel truma. The Rava says the first braisa also agrees they're makabel truma. Both braisas are saying, though, that you need shlosha or shlosha. The first braisa is telling us that the concept of shalosh or shalosh does not apply to any, it only applies to wool and linen. And the second one, but shlosha or shlosha, in other words, would be makabel truma. And the second braisa says that explicitly. The problem
although,
with that...
there's nothing to that in the mention of each bracha. Each braisa.
That's fine. Well, the second braisa, yeah, because the second braisa spells out that other kinds of cloth are matame. The first braisa is not. But therefore, by putting them together, Rava says, we come out, in order not to make those two braisas disagree with each other, we would have to say that one of them, again, because like we said before, like Rava had said before, the Torah could have told us otherwise if the same dinim applied to Shrutim as to Negoyim, the Torah could have told us by Shrutim, and we would have learned from that to Negoyim. So therefore, Rava says that no, the two braisas actually agree with each other. One of them is saying there's a certain din that applies only to Semer and Pishtim. The other one says that there's a certain din that does not only apply to Semer and Pishtim, it applies to all kinds of cloth as well. That would be Shalosh al Shalosh versus Shalosh al Shalosh. So in other words, Rava would say, like we were saying before, that when it comes to Negoyim, fine, only Semer and Pishtim, because there the Torah spells out only Semer or Pishtim, and therefore we have a klal of prat over there, and we say klal of prat, but when it comes to the binyan av that you're learning from that to the rest of the Torah, there we're saying that not necessarily. When it comes to other kinds of cloth, the second braisa would tell us they are actually makabel truma, but then of other kinds of truma, for example shlosim. However, they need to be three by three tefachim. The problem with that is, rather who the Amar Shloisha Shloisha B'Shav Gadim, Rav Shimon Elazar Islay the Tanit Veid Abishmal left, right? The problem is that at the beginning of the sugya, Rava himself had said that Tanit Veid Abishmal and Rav Shimon Elazar are arguing on that point. Again, we had at the beginning of the sugya where Abaye had said that both Tanit Veid Abishmal and Rav Shimon Elazar agree that other kinds of cloth are not makabel truma at all, no matter what the size. Rava had disagreed with Abaye on that and said that no, Rav Shimon Elazar would say other kinds of cloth on the makabel truma. Tanit Veid Abishmal says that not. How all of a sudden is Rava saying over here that Tanit Veid Abishmal is saying that other kinds of cloth on the makabel truma? That contradicts what he said before. The answer is Hoder Bei Rava Mehayim. The answer is Rava changed his mind from that. Now he says that Tanit Veid Abishmal and Rav Shimon Elazar do agree. But he says they agree exactly the opposite of the way that Abaye said. Abaye is saying they both agree that other kinds of cloth are not makabel truma. Rava is saying they both agree that other kinds of cloth are makabel truma. But you need 3x3 tefachim. So Rava had before said that Rav Shimon Elazar and Tanit Veid Abishmal are arguing. Now he changed his mind and said they're not arguing. And the reason for that was because he was forced to do that once he brought in the second braisa of Tanit Veid Abishmal, because otherwise the two braises are going to contradict each other.
So now they just disagree on size?
No, so now we're saying that there's no, according to Rava, there's no disagreement at all between any of the Tanaim. The Shimon Elazar and both braises of Tanit Veid Abishmal hold that other kinds of cloth are makabel truma of Shrutim, but... Mm-hmm. If there's 3x3 tefachim, as opposed to wool and linen, where there we learn from the Goyim that 3x3 tefachim is enough. And that's one possibility, is that Rava changed his mind.
Mm-hmm. From the possible contradiction of the two brises.
Right. So in order to avoid a contradiction between the two brises, we're at Baye say, no problem, the two brises contradict each other, but Rava doesn't want to do that. Therefore, that forces Rava to reevaluate and say that the two brises don't disagree with each other, and neither does Tanadreda, and neither does Rav Shimon Elazar. Or,
why can't we say that one of the brises has to be rearranged, as we say very usually, that sometimes the brisa is not correct?
We can say a brisa is not correct if you see something in it that it looks like it's missing, that it looks like it might be missing a phrase, or it might have, or the first brisa clearly spelled out that the Torah, when the Torah says beged, it means only wool and linen. The second one clearly spells out that because it says oi beged, we're including other kinds of cloth as far as tumas shrotim. There's nothing in either brisa that we can edit to make it, there's nothing in either brisa that we can or need to edit. So therefore, Rava says the two brises are not contradicting each other. Or the Iboyesema, or another possibility, the Gemara says, maybe Rava did not in fact change his mind. Actually, this statement that you're attributing to Rava, saying that this statement that you're attributing to Rava, saying that that the two brises of Tanadreda and Bishmal don't disagree with each other, that's not necessarily, that wasn't necessarily Rava said that, that could have been Rav Papa that said that. Now, why would there be the confusion? Tosfos says, because Rav Papa was Rava's Talmud, he succeeded him as Rosh Hashiva, but sometimes when Rav Papa would say something, then they wouldn't know whether it's something that he came up with independently or whether he's quoting something that Rava said. We have here and in a few other places in Shas, the Gemara has like a thing where you'll have something that was attributed to Rava, and then we find that actually it turns out to be from Rav Papa. So this could be another example of those over here that this may not have been from Rava, but rather from Rav Papa. Namely, Rav Papa Amar Akola Asuya. Now, you actually have a difference of your source over here. You have our printed Gemara has Rav Papa Amar. In other words, that Rav Papa is making a new statement, not necessarily related to his previous statement. That, in other words, Rav Papa, according to what the Gemara is saying now, according to the Gemara's second answer, Rav Papa had given the explanation that we attributed to Rava, and then in addition, separately, Rav Papa said a separate statement, which we're going to quote now. Rashi, on the other hand, has the Girsa, Dir Rav Papa, meaning that it's a continuation, that the Gemara is going to demonstrate how we see that Rav Papa said what we attribute to Rava by quoting something else that Rav Papa said. Now, Rashi is going to explain that actually this next statement that we're going to quote from Rav Papa is not really exactly the same as the Gemara as the answer that the Gemara is giving according to Rava. So what it is Rashi says that. Rav Papa gave a different answer. Rav Papa is going to try to give a different answer to reconcile the two Tanad Veda Mishmol, and the Talmud misunderstood and misattributed it to Rava. So that's Rashi's explanation. Again, according to other Rishonim who have the Girsa, Rav Papa Amar, then there's no problem with that. It's two separate things. Rav Papa gave exactly the same answer as Rava did, and in addition, he also made a separate statement. The Ramban, in fact, says a possibility that what it is that Rav Papa first gave the next answer that we're going to give now, but the Gemara is going to end up slugging it up, and then he went back and gave the answer that we attributed before to Rava. Anyway, Rav Papa Amar asked, Rav Papa says that, no, when we have the first braisa that said, when we have the first Tanad Veda Bishmol that said that we learn from a Binyan Av that when it says deged in the Torah, it means only wool or linen, actually Rav Papa says that first braisa is not talking about Tumah at all. It's talking about rather as far as Kilayim. it's talking about that we have by the goy in the sense semer of pishkin, and the askol that the brayser that Rabbanan Rebbe Shmuel was saying that also applies. You know, another place in Torah is talking specifically about shatnez. That shatnez is limited to wool and linen, not necessarily with the first tanit. Rebbe Shmuel say that other kinds of cloth are not makabel tuma at all. So he would say they are makabel tuma, which is another way of reconciling it with the second brayser. The second brayser says it. So we had the first explanation, which we thought came from Rava, and the Gemara says maybe it did, maybe Rava changed his mind, or maybe the Papa actually said it. That was the difference between Sholosh al Sholosh, 3x3 Esbois, versus Shlosh al Shlosh, or 3x3 Tvachim. But now we have another possibility, which is the Papa is saying that actually the first Braisa to begin with was never talking about Tum of Atala. The first Braisa was saying that the Goyim and Kelayim are the two cases where we limit the definition of Beged to Semer or Kishkin. All other places in the Torah, the first Braisa would agree that the word Beged includes other kinds of cloth as well. The question is, according to that, Kelayim Behed Yaksivibay, what do you need a Ribui to teach us that Kelayim applies only to wool and linen? It says explicitly in the Torah, Lo Yisoba Shatnez Semer or Kishkin Yachdom. It says clearly, don't wear Shatnez, wool and linen together. So we see clearly the definition of Shatnez is wool and linen. Why would we need a Ribui from Sanas? The answer is, because otherwise you would have thought, you would say, you know what, when it comes to wearing a piece of clothing, then yeah, the Torah is limiting the definition of shatnez to only wool and linen, but you also have an issue of shatnez not only to wear a garment of shatnez, but also to have it cover you. For example, you can't use a shatnez blanket, even you're not even allowed to, let's say, sit on a soft cushion of shatnez, because some of it might curl up over you, but midaraisa, at least, you're not allowed to use a blanket or something else like that of shatnez. So you would think, if it weren't for the ribui, if it weren't for the binyan av, from the goyim, you would say, okay, when it comes to wearing it, maybe the Torah is more lenient and only asking you wool and linen, ava b'hala, but when it comes to covering yourself with, for example, a blanket, kol tre mini ofer, maybe you would have thought any two kinds of fabric mixed together are also, and therefore the Torah has to give us a binyan ab from the goyim to teach us not like that. So therefore, that's what the first Tanit Rebbe Shmuel would be doing. Well, says that doesn't work. The law of Kavah Chaimah, wouldn't it be a very simple Kavah Chaimah to say that not? Wearing a garment where your entire body is benefiting from kelayim, and still you're taking it as a given that the Torah would only ask for wool and linen. How much more so covering yourself with it, where your entire body doesn't necessarily enjoy it. Covering yourself, actually, maybe I should say, it doesn't mean like a blanket or something. It could mean, like we were just talking about, for example, let's say a cushion, where part of it covers a little bit of your body. So if you're going to tell me that when it comes to wearing shatnez, it would be only wool and linen, there's no reason to think that covering yourself with a small piece of shatnez should be more stringent and should apply to any two kind of fabrics. Obviously, by Kavah Chaimah, it applies only to wool and linen also. So we're back to, there's no reason to have a ribui for wool and linen. There's no reason to have a binyan av for wool and linen from the goyim where we could easily enough learn it from a Kavah Chaimah. You're right. The Gemara says, Elah did a papa bedusin. You're right. This statement that we said from a papa, that the first braisa is telling us only about kelayim, bedusihi, it's not true. Meforshim explained. We've learned this expression before. It can mean, for example, that one of the Talmidim misattributed it to Rav Papa. That one of the Talmidim in the Beit Medrash, for example, heard something that Rav Papa said, misunderstood from it that Rav Papa would explain the Braises in this way and misattributed it to Rav Papa. But in fact, it's not so. We've learned before something that Rav Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, mentions in that connection, that even when the Gemara says about something that is bedusa, it's still ultimately it's part of the Torah, which is true, the Torah emes. So therefore, what it is the same Hashem, the same Chachmas Yerusha, Shalach Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is the Torah, also tells us that this particular detail in it, even though it is part of the Torah, nevertheless can't be accepted as a correct understanding of the halacha or of the braita.
Okay.
So the Gemara continues. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, "I'll give you a different explanation to reconcile the two braitas." Ach kol lasuya tittus. The af kolon, the first braita, is not coming to tell us, again, all this time we've been assuming that the first braita of Tanit Brei Rabbi Shmuel was telling us that the fact that the Torah tells us, the klal of prophet, the Torah tells us by Negoyim, that only wool and linen are included. So we were saying all this time throughout the sugya that that binyan av we're trying to apply everywhere in the Torah, including to the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara, and that was what led us to say that the first time the great Rabbi Shmuel would say that only wool and linen are makabel Tumah, and we're in the middle of giving various answers to that. So Rav Yitzchak says, similar to Rav Papa, that Rav Papa said that it's coming to tell us only about Chilayim. We shot that down. So now Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying it comes to tell us only as far as tzitzis, that only wool or linen garments are chayiv and tzitzis on a daraisa level. But again, not necessarily with Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, the first one, be taking any position on other places in the Torah where it says beged, that it should mean only wool and linen. It means they say strictly by the goyim and by tzitzis.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the question is tzitzis the head yaksiv. Again, the question is why do we need a binyan av from Tzaraas to tell us that. It says explicitly by tzitzis loy soba shatnes semro pishim uchtiv gilim tafelacha. You have two psukim back to back in Parashat Tzitzis. One says not to wear shatnes, a mixture of wool and linen. The next one tells us to make yourself tzitzis on the corners of your garments. And we learn from the smuchim, we learn from the juxtaposition of those two psukim that wool and linen are chayav and tzitzis. So therefore, so we know that without needing to resort to negoyim. So why would Rav Nachman Yitzchak say that Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel is using that to teach us about tzitzis? The answer is because otherwise, Sakadai Dachamina Kidderava. Because otherwise, you would think to Darshan that smuchim differently the way Rava does. The Rava Rami, because Rava pointed out a contradiction. Siv Hakonaf Min Konaf. You have like this in Parashas Shlach when the Torah in the Parashah of Tzitzis, which we say every day in Shema, we say Benosim al Tzitzis Hakonoch. So a Hakonoch, the corner, implies it's an extra word in the pasuk because it already says earlier in the pasuk Al Kanfe B'Zayim L'Dereisam. So it could have just said Benosim al Tzitzis Tzil Tchelos. Instead, it says Tzitzis Hakonoch means Min Konoch means. Therefore, we learn from that. That the type of fabric from which the corner is made is the type of fabric from which the tzitzis should be made. But you also have on the other hand the smuchin that we said that it says semerol pishtim yachtav that it mentions wool and linen in connection with shatnez, and the next pasuk talks about tzitzis. So we see from that tzitzis is limited to wool and linen. The Rava says, "Ha ketzad." So how do we reconcile the two psukim? He says, "Semer pishtim poitrin bein minon bein shalodiminon." It's like this: wool or linen tzitzis, pater other kinds of cloth, whether pater any kind of clothing, whether it's the same kind or different kind. The meaning, in other words, the Torah would be telling us by semer pishtim that, let's say, for example, if you had a cotton beged or a silk beged or whatever, that if you put wool tzitzis or linen tzitzis on it, either way, you're yotzei to the mitzvah. Sh'ar minin, as opposed to other kinds of fabric, the minon potrin, shalom the minon ein potrin. They only pater their min, but not others. In other words, Rava is saying that if you have a cotton beged, for example, you have three choices of what kind of tzitzis to put on it. Wool, linen, or cotton. But if, let's say, you were to put silk tzitzis on a cotton beged, no good. On the other hand, and the same thing. So Rava would say that the Torah is telling us that all kinds of cloth are chayav and tzitzis, And the difference is just that Semer or Pishtim have a special status in that they pass through any kind of beged, as opposed to other kinds of tzitzis would only pass through if they're the same min. Rav Nachman is saying that no, that we douse in that, we douse in the smuchim, we douse in the fact that it mentions shatnez and semer or Pishtim yachtav right next to tzitzis. Rav Nachman says we douse in it differently. We douse in it to say that only wool and linen are chayav and tzitzis min atorah. So therefore, so he finishes off. So if it weren't for Tanit Reid Rabbi Shmuel Limud, that Semer or Pishtim is, that Beged means only Semer or Pishtim, then we would have thought to understand like Rabba, Kamash Malan, and therefore, says Rav Nachman, that's what the first Tanit Reid Rabbi Shmuel wants to inform us, is that no, that when it comes to Tzitzit, only Semer or Pishtim are Chayim on a Daraisa level. Otherwise, we would have thought like Rava. Now, who the halacha is like, by the way, is a big machlokas rishon. Because you have the Rambam paskins like Rava, that all kinds of cloth are chayev and tzitzis daraisa, and wool and linen pater any of them, but on the other hand, with other kinds of begodim, you need tzitzis to be made of the same material. On the other hand, and the Rish also paskins like Rava, and the Rambam follows too, based on the Rish. The Rosh, on the other hand, very strongly disagrees with that, and says, no, the Halacha can't be like Rava over here, for a number of reasons, one of which is that we have Tanit Reid Rabbi Shmuel against him. The Halacha has to be like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that only wool and linen are chayiv and tzitzis d'araisa, and all the other ones are only chayiv d'rabbanan. So you end up with a couple of practical results of that in halacha. One is that again, according to the Rosh, other kinds of garments are not chayav and tzitzis on a daraisa level, and it means only drabanan. And it means also that let's say if you were to put wool tzitzis on a cotton beged, according to the Rambam Yoyotze, according to the Rosh, you're not. Because according to the Rosh, if such a beged is not even chayev in tzitzis on a daraisa level, then the rabbanon, when you have to put tzitzis on it, the tzitzis have to be the same min as the beged. Because after all, it says hakana. So in Shulchan Aruch it brings both opinions, and it says that for that reason, the Al Rabin in particular mentions in the Siddur that for that reason a Yorei Shamayim should be careful to wear a beged made out of wool and tzitzis made out of wool, which is what we do. That way you're to the mitzvah on a daraisa level according to everybody, because for example the Velt, when they wear cotton tzitzis with cotton threads, then they're yotze on a daraisa level according to the Rambam, but only on a derabanan level according to the Rosh. And if they would put wool and tzitzis on them, then the Rosh might say they're not even yotze at all, not even the Rabbanan.
What about the Sfardim then?
What about the Sfardim? I mean, they have their own code scheme who they're entitled to follow. Again, the Rambam and Sfardim generally follow the Rambam. Holds that all kinds of cloth are chayiv d'araisa. The difference is that Rambam says, as Rava is saying over here, just that when it comes to a cotton beged, let's say you can't put silk tzitzis on it, you have to put either wool or linen or cotton. But the Rambam holds all of them are equally chayiv d'araisa because he holds the halacha is like Rava. The Rosh is saying that the halacha is like Menachem Eitzchak. Okay. Amr of Achabrei de Rava l'Ravashi. Okay, so now Rav Achabrei de Rava asks Rav Ashi, L'tanet Veda Bishmol, we have to ask like this. If you're telling me now that following Rav Nachman Yitzchak's understanding, that the first Tanet Veda Bishmol is telling us that a din that applies only to Taras, that Taras applies only to clothes of Semer or Pishtim, that he's saying that same concept applies to tzitzis as well. So the question is, but we said before that when it comes to tumah, we're saying according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak's understanding, Tanit Reid Rabbi Shmuel would agree that when it comes to other kinds of tumahs, other kinds of cloth are included on the basis of the limud from oy beged, from the extra oy that we said before by shrotim. So therefore, they would agree that other kinds of cloth are makabel tumah. They're saying that only when it comes to Negoyim and Tzitzis are we limiting it. So the question is, Latanit Beit Avishmal, according to that understanding of Tanit Beit Avishmal, my shno the inyan tumah de mavishav godim. So why are you telling me when it comes to tumah v'tara, we are able to include other kinds of clothing? The reason is dechtiv oi beged. You're saying because we learned from the word oi beged that it says by shurakim, and saying therefore that Tanit Beit Avishmal would agree that other kinds of cloth are makabel tumah as well. Well, hochanami, the same thing by tzitzis, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak. We should say, look, the Pesach doesn't just say, put tzitzis on your clothing. It says, your clothing with which you cover yourself, that should also be a ribui. So it should include other kinds of cloth with which a person might cover themselves. And therefore, you should say that the same thing, that midaraita, that tzitzis should apply to other kinds of cloth as well. Why are you saying that? Why are you saying only by tumah, but not by tzitzis? The answer is because we're not
because what again? That it should apply to other kinds of
cloth? This question is the same. We have when it comes to taras, we have a cloud of prat that teaches us that beged means only tzemer or pishtim, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that applies also to tzitzis. But Tanit Beit Avishmal so far was saying would agree that other kinds of cloth are makabel, other kinds of tumah, because by shurasim it says oi beged, and the oi is a ribui. The same thing when it comes to tzitzis, we have a ribui, because it doesn't just say that you should put tzitzis on your clothing. It says on your clothing asher kechasetba, which you cover yourself with, so that would be a ribui, which would include other kinds of clothing as well. So in the end, you would say, that all kinds of clothing are chayiv and tzitzis on a daraisa level. Wool and linen because of the two pesukim back to back, because the semer pishtim yachta gilam tasalacha, and other kinds of cloth, because it continues, asher techasema. The answer is no, because those words, asher techasema, hahu lakuyik sumo hudasa. No, because actually those words, asher techasema, which you cover yourself with, those are actually coming to teach us something else. Those are coming to teach us that the clothing of a blind person is chayiv and tzitzis, even though he can't see the tzitzis. Jatanya, as we learn in a braisa, when the pasuk says re'isem oisoi, the pasuk says you should see them, you should see the tzitzis. So the braisa is prat l'ksus laila. That comes to exclude clothing for the night. And here you have another machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. What is the definition of clothing of night? The Rambam holds that it means any item of clothing, even if it's usually meant to wear by day, but you happen to be wearing it by night. The Rosh says that no, ksus laila means a piece of clothing that's specifically meant for wearing at night, like pajamas. So in other words, if, let's say, for example, if you have a four-cornered garment, which you normally wear by day, and sometimes you happen to be wearing it by night, like a toga, for example, the Rambam would hold potter from tzitzit at night, and the Rosh would hold its chayim. Anyway, the point is that the Braita says the word the re'isa moisei means for not clothing of the night, because you can't see at night, because it's dark. Continues the Braita, after Omer, now you're saying that it means ksus laila, that it means a nighttime garment. Maybe not. Maybe Re'isa Moshe teaches us that a blind person is potter from having tzitzis on his clothes. No, sure, Omer, share to chasaba, since the pasuk says about clothing which you cover yourself with, that it's chayim and tzitzis, harek ksus tuma omer. So that includes the clothing of a blind person, because he covers himself with that clothing also. So what are we doing at the possible? It means as opposed to clothing for the nighttime. And continues the Braisa, what's the logic to include the clothes of a blind person and exclude the clothes that you wear at night? The logic is, we have a riboy from the word asher techasaba, we have a miut from the word ureisama, so one has to apply to nighttime clothing and one has to apply to a blind person's clothing. We're saying that the riboy applies to a blind person's clothing and the miut applies to night clothing. So what's the logic to say that? The logic is, Marbani Kusuma, it's more logical to say that the Torah wants a blind person to wear tzitzis on his clothing, because, okay, he can't see it, but other people can see it, because other people during the day can see his clothing. As opposed to, it's more logical to exclude nighttime clothing, because nobody can see it, because it's dark at night. And therefore, so that's the point, in other words. So you're arguing, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava is arguing, that from the words Asher T'chasaba, we should learn that other kinds of cloth are chayiv and tzitzis as well. So we're saying that, no, we're using those words to teach us that a blind person's clothing is chayiv and tzitzis. Okay, so the question still is, the Eimel Rabbis Shabbatim, maybe not. Maybe, in fact, if we have a ribui from Asher T'chasaba, the Braita is telling us that you apply it to Ksus Tuma, but maybe not. Maybe instead we should say that it applies to that it applies to other kinds of cloth. What's the logic that the Braita is saying if you have two choices, you have three choices, therefore, of what can be mired from that? Nighttime clothing, a blind person's clothing, or other kinds of clothing? So fine, nighttime clothing we excluded because of Issa Moshe. But what makes the Braita say that Asher T'chasaba should apply to a blind person's clothing and not to other kinds of cloth that might be used for clothing? The answer is, the Gemara says Mistabra, because it's more logical to say like this, Koib, Semero Pishtim, Marvet Semero Pishtim. While the Torah is talking about Semero Pishtim, we said, because it mentions Shatnez, Semero Pishtim Yachtav, and the next passage continues about Tzitzis, so it's more logical while we're on the subject of Semero Pishtim, Marvet Semero Pishtim. So the end of that same passage, Asher T'chasaba, is including another garment of wool or linen, which is Chayiv and Tzitzis, namely the clothing of a blind person. But would you say Koib, Semero Pishtim, Marvet Shavadim? But if the context of Semer of Pishtim, is it logical that Asher T'chasaba is going to include other kinds of clothing? No. So therefore we should stick with the assumption that Asher T'chasaba tells us that the clothing of a blind person, the clothing made of wool or linen of a blind person, is like anybody else's wool or linen clothing and is chayiv and tzitzis. It's less logical to assume that if the Torah says Semer of Pishtim Yachtav, that then we would have later on in the pasuk Asher T'chasaba would all of a sudden be switching gears and be talking about other kinds of cloth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the bottom line. In other words, the bottom line is saying that based on all this, only wool and linen garments are chayiv and tzitzis daraisa. Again, we said before that Rava disagrees, and again, you have a machlokes rishonim, you have a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh, who between the Rif and the Rambam on the one hand, and the Rosh on the other hand, who the halacha is like. Let's go back to the beginning of the sugya now, and refer back again to something that we said. We started the sugya by quoting something that Rav Shimon Elazar had said, that anything that comes from a tree, he said two dinim on it. Number one, it's not makabel tumah by three etzbos, but the exception of linen. Now, linen, by the way, doesn't really come from a tree anyway. It comes from a plant. We're going to learn soon in the Gemara, on the next Mishnah, why we're calling it a tree. But anyway, Rav Shimon Elazar had said two dinim. Number one, anything that comes from a tree or a plant or whatever is not makabel tumah in 3x3 etzbos, with the exception of linen. And number two, Rav Shimon Elazar also said any kind of cloth that comes from a tree or from a plant less than 3x3 etzbos, you're allowed to use for tzach. So now we're going to focus on that second din. Amar Abaye, Rav Shimon Elazar, the sumchus amru davar echad. So Abaye says Rav Shimon Elazar and sumchus are telling us the same din. They both hold the same way that something that is able to become tummy with one type of tumah is not able to be used for tzach. In other words, again, Shimon Elazar is saying that linen cloth is able to be makabel tumah once it's 3x3 etzbos. It's able to be makabel tumah at least from the goyim, even if we would say that when it comes to, even if we would say, well, Actually, sorry. What we're saying is, like this, in other words, that we said before that threads of shefi or erev of wool or linen are already makabel tumas sarah, and therefore Rav Shimon Elazar is saying, in effect, that you can't use them for sarah. So Rav Shimon Elazar is saying that anything that Rav Shimon Elazar is saying that even when he said beged tishtan, so it means even if it's not an actual beged yet, even if it's only at the stage where it's makabel tumah of sarah, which we're going to see in a minute what that stage is, then already you can't use it for sarah, says Rav Shimon Elazar. So Abaye is saying sumchus says the same thing. The Tanya, we learn in a braita. Rav Shimon Elazar Hodam Moran. We quoted what Rav Shimon Elazar says that a beged of linen of 3x3 boys is makabel tuma and is not able to be used for schach. And that would mean he would also say therefore that any kind of linen which is makabel tuma, meaning even if it hasn't been made in the cloth yet, is not able to be used for schach. And Sumchus is saying the same thing. Sumchus, where do we see that Sumchus says that? The Tanya, we learn in the Braita, Sumchus says, Sumchus says that if you make schach using linen that was spun into threads, then the sukkah is possible. Because threads of linen are able to become tamei with negoyim, And therefore, they can't use them for schach, which is the same thing, in effect, as Rav Shimon Elazar is saying. Timan. Now, who did he go like? He high Tana. He's following the opinion of the following Tana. It's not. Shefi ve'ed of the Tana been going miyad divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that shefi thread or ed of thread is able to be mekabel tuma of negoyim as soon as it's finished being made, even before it's finished being processed. Divrei Rav Meir, so says Rav Meir. So Sumchus is following that opinion. Sumchus was a Talmud of Rav Meir. So he's following his Rebbe's opinion that Shefi and Eid of Thread are able to be Makabel Tuma of Negoyim as soon as they're spun. But Rav Yehuda, Shefi Mishi Shola, Rav Yehuda says no. What it is actually after you spin threads of Shefi, of wool, then you don't, they're not yet ready for use. First you have to boil them up in a vat in order to bleach them. So only when you take them out of the vat after they've been bleached, only then, says Rabbi Yehuda, they're makabel tuma. Well, eight of miyad, as opposed to eight of threads, they agree as soon as you finish making them already makabel tuma. Well, unin shall pishtan mishin slavni. And he says that's as far as wool. As far as linen, it's makabel tuma of sarah as soon as it's bleached in the oven, which Rashi says actually that Rashi says that this opinion would say that actually even unspun, even linen that's not yet been spun, that's only been combed out and bleached, is makabel tuma of sarah. Tosfos disagrees with that. And says that no, when before spun into thread, it's not makabel tuma at all. Okay, maybe it's makabel tuma on a derabbanan level, and therefore you can't use it for tzach, but on a daraisa level, it's only makabel tuma once it was actually spun into thread. So you have Rav Meir is saying right away, and Rav Yehuda would be saying only after it was bleached. But the point is that Sumchus would say that Sumchus, following Rav Meir's opinion, would say as soon as the thread is made, then already it's makabel tuma, so therefore Rav Shimon Elazar is saying the same thing. Mishnah says, "Kol hayotze min ha'eitz. Anything that comes from a tree, ein madlikin bo, you're not allowed to use it for wicks for Shabbos candles, ela pishtan, with the exception of flax." Now, Rashi says what that means is, for example, you would not be able to make wicks out of hemp or out of cotton or whatever. Tosfos disagrees with that. And Tosfos points out at the beginning of the Perek, what do you mean? I mean, we use cotton wicks all the time. First of all, actually, there's two questions. Number one is that cotton wicks are actually very, very good. They actually burn very, very nicely. Why should you not be able to use them? And second of all, at the beginning of the paragraph, we learned that there are certain kinds of materials from trees that are listed over there you're not allowed to use. The woolly stuff that you find under the bark of cedar trees and of willow trees and whatever. So why is the saying over here, kol ha-yotzim min ha-eitz? So that's a general rule. So we have that general rule. Why do we need those specific things over there? But Tosfos disagrees with Rashi on 2 points. Number one is that yotzim min ha-eitz does not include things like cotton. It only you are allowed only they're not trees. They're plants. Linen is flax is also a plant, but we're going to see in the Gemara. There's a reason why we have to be told. There's a reason because the pasuk refers to it as a tree that we have to be told that you're allowed to use it. But cotton, for example, is never called a tree anywhere. Therefore, there's no reason Tosfos says to say that it should be also for women. Second of all, also Tosfos learns at the beginning of the Perek that this rule kol ha-yotzim min ha-eitz refers to things that come out of a tree as is, that you're not allowed to use them. For example, these woolly stuff that you find under the bark of the tree, as opposed to when you have something like cotton or whatever, which needs to be processed in order to use it, then this rule wouldn't apply. Okay. Anyway, so the Mishnah is saying, kol ha-yotzim min ha-eitz in madlikin by el-pishtam, the only thing you're allowed to use that comes from a tree for the wicks of Shabbos candles is flax. And the Mishnah also mentions another rule, by the way, another similar rule, v'chol ha-yotzim min ha-eitz ein matamah tumas olam el-pishtam. Another rule is that among things that come from trees, only flax is matamah with tumas olam. What does that mean? Now, we have like this. The Torah tells us that we know the concept of tumas oil, that if a mess is under the same oil with something else, then the something else becomes tame. What we're saying is, though, Rashi learns that we're saying that normally, most of the time, the things inside the oil become tame, but the oil itself does not become tame. If you have, for example, let's say, for example, a house, a mess dies in a house, everything that's in the house becomes tummy, but the house itself doesn't become tummy. And the same thing if you'd have, let's say, the same thing if you'd have a tent made out of cotton, let's say, or made out of nylon or whatever they make tents out of nowadays, it wouldn't be makabel truma. But if the tent is made out of linen, then the tent itself is makabel truma. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says that's not the distinction. That if it's not permanently attached to the ground, then other things are not. If not permanently attached to the ground, then it's makabel truma regardless. If it's permanently attached to the ground, then other kinds of materials would not become tame, but flax would. And then you have a third opinion of Rishonim that if it's attached to the ground, it's not makabel truma at all. And if it's detached from the ground, then it's always makabel truma. And here we're talking about just that you have, let's say, a temporary tent. It's not permanently attached to the ground, but you do. It's not attached to the ground, but it's something that you use on a long-term basis. So that would be what the Mishnah is talking about, that flax becomes tame and other materials not. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Minoan de Pishtan Ikriate, where do we see that flax is called a tree, that we should say that we have to exempt it from the rules that apply to things from trees? I mean, flax linen is not a tree, it's a plant. It's not even like a plant has a hard stem. So why is it called a Amar Mazutra, Da'amatra, because you have a pasuk in connection with, you have the story in Yoshua, it's that Torah of Parashah, of the two meraglim that Yoshua sent to Yericho, where they hid out in Rachel's house, and the pasuk says that when soldiers came looking for them, the pasuk says, she, Rachel, brought them up to the roof, that titman named Pishtei Ha'et, and she hid them among the bundles of flax from the tree. So the fact that the pasuk calls Pishtan eitz, therefore, even though it's true botanically, it's not really a tree, but since the pasuk calls it eitz, maybe because the stems are a little bit hard like wood, therefore you would have thought that it's considered, therefore it could be considered to have the dinim of eitz, of wood, and therefore the Mishnah needs to tell us that it's an exception to the rule. Okay. Then we said, we said that anything that comes from a tree is not metabol tuma of an oil, according to the various opinions of the Rishonim that we explained before what exactly it means, except for flax. So menolon, where do we know that from? Where do we see that linen is different than other kinds of materials? We learn by Exeter Shava on the word oihel from the Mishkan. Now in the Mishkan you had there were different curtains of the Mishkan. You had in particular the lowest set of curtains, the ones that were visible from inside the Mishkan, were made from a few wool dyed a few different colors plus linen. So among those, and so all you had in them was wool and linen. So therefore, among things that come from a plant, the only thing in there was linen. And ksiv hacha zoysa tera adam ki yomus ba'oil. You have a pasuk that says these are the halachas. If a person dies in a tent, then everything that's in the tent, everything that's under that same roof, becomes tameh. Ukhtiv hacha vayifrit et ha'oil ala mishkan. The pasuk says, Moshe spread out the oil over the Mishkan. So, Mala Halam Shal Pishtan Kari oil. So you see over there that a cloth that's made at least partially out of linen is called an oil. Afkan Shal Pishtan Kari oil. The same thing over here. When it comes to Tumas Nes, an oil of Pishtan is called an oil, and therefore it itself becomes Tumi. Okay. Rashi actually asked the question, in that case, how do we know that Tumas Oihel, how do we know that the other things become Tameh if they're not under a roof of linen or the other materials that we're going to mention here in the Sugya? So Rashi says that we learn from a Kavachomer, from a Mitzorah. By a Mitzorah, you have anything that's under the same roof as the Mitzorah becomes Tameh, and there it's not limited only to wool or linen or whatever. So the same thing, when it comes to Tumas Nes, all the more so, we would say that the other things become Tameh, even if they're not made out of wool or linen. But here we're talking about for the Oihel itself to become Tameh, that we're learning from the Gzeirah Shavah of the Mishkan. So the question is, e malahalan shazurin v'chutan kapol vav. Well, then, by that logic, you should say that the linen, the curtains of the Mishkan, which included linen, the linen threads of it had to be twined together. They had to be like tzitzis threads, where you don't just have individual fibers. You have a bunch of fibers twisted together to make a thread. V'chutan kapol vav. You actually have to have there were six ply threads. They would take six threads of linen and twist them together to make one thread that they would use for the curtains and for the other fabrics of the Mishkan. Afkan shazurin v'chutan kapol vav. Maybe you would say when it comes to tumas oil, only if the linen is the same way, only if it's made of six ply linen, then it's makabel tumah of oil, but otherwise not. The answer is Talmud Lama Oihel Oihel Riba. The answer is no, because in this pasuk by Tumas Nes, it says Oihel several times. It's called Boil Oil, but Kol Asher Oil. Therefore Riba. That means a Riboy that it applies to Therefore, it's a Riboy that it applies to other kinds of linen as well, even if it's not six ply. So the question is, E Oihel Oihel Riba Afilakol Milinami. New. Then in that case, we should include other kinds of material as well. The answer is in Ken, Zeta Shava, Mayahani. In Mayahani, right? In that case, the Zeta Shava wouldn't be accomplishing anything. If you said that ultimately we're including all materials, then there's no need for the Zeta Shava from the word oil. So the fact that we have the Zeta Shava means it has to be somehow similar to the Mishkan. So the somehow is it has to be the same material. It has to be linen or wool or various other things that we're going to discuss soon, because we have those curtains in the Mishkan. You had, again, there were several different curtains. You had the ones that were made out of wool and linen. You had on top of that, there were the curtains that were made out of goat's hair. On top of that, there were the curtains that were made out of ram skins and tachash skins. So as we'll see in the Gemara, All those things are considered an oiho on a daraisa level, and all of them are makabel chumas oiho. At least so far, that's what we're saying. But the point is that we can't say that we'd also include, we can't say that we would include other kinds of materials based on, we can't say that we'd include based, other kinds of materials based on the extra word oiho, because then you're taking away, then the Gzeira Shava is not accomplishing anything. So in the end, we have the Gzeira Shava accomplishes that it limits us to certain kinds of materials, flax or linen, and the other ones that we're going to discuss later on in the sugya. And then the ribui oihel teaches us that even if the linen is not made exactly the same as it was in the Mishkan, it's not twined together into six ply threads. Nevertheless, the same din still applies.
Okay.
So we'll continue tomorrow. That's the sham with more discussion of this, of what is metame tumas oil and what is not. And in the course of it, we'll get into a discussion also of what exactly the top curtains of the Mishkan, what were they made out of. We'll also discuss tomorrow what the tachlis was exactly.
Okay. How far does this tumah and hara continue going?
So we have the one sugya of Tumah V'Tahara that we're going to continue with tomorrow on Daf Chochef. We have a different sugya that's going to start with the Mishnah on Chochef Amadeh and continue until the Mishnah on Chochef Amadeh. After that, we're done with Tumah V'Tahara at least for a little while. So it's not all one long sugya. We have three different sugyas over here, but the last of these three back to back sugyas on it ends on Chochef Amadeh.
Okay.
Okay.